ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नस्तप्रयेषु भवद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्तमश्लोकेर् भक्तिर्भावति नैस्तिकेर्। So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 30, the activities of the Prachaitas, text number 32. I'll first read the word for word, please repeat. Parijate anjasha lapte sarangaha anyat nasevate tvat angri mulam asadya sakshat kim vrinimahi parijatye nyasa labde sharanga nyana sevate tvat angri mulam asadya sakshat kim vrinimahi Parijate, the celestial tree known as Parijata. Angyasa, completely. Labde, having achieved. Sarangaha, a bee. Anyat, other. Nasevate, does not resort to. Tvat angri, your lotus feet. Mulam, the root of everything. Asadya, having approached. Saksat, directly. Kim, what? Vrinimahi, may we ask. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sorry. Dear Lord, when the bee approaches the celestial tree called Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree, because there is no need for such action. Similarly, when we have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of them, what further benediction may we ask of you? Purport. When a devotee is actually engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, his engagement in itself is so perfect that there is no need to ask for further benediction. When a bee approaches the Parijata tree, it gets unlimited supplies of honey. There is no need to go to another tree. If one is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is unlimited transcendental bliss. And as such, there is no need to ask for further benediction. The Parijata tree is not commonly found within this material world. The Parijata tree is also known as Kalpa Vriksha, or the wish-fulfilling tree. One can get anything he desires from such a tree. In the material world, one can get oranges from an orange tree or mangoes from a mango tree, but there is no possibility of getting oranges from a mango tree or vice versa. However, one can get whatever he wants from the Parijata tree, oranges, mangoes, bananas, and so on. This tree is found in the spiritual world, Chintamani Prakarasatmasu Kalpavriksha Lakshavitesu, Brahma Sangita 529. The spiritual world, Chintamani Dham, is surrounded by these Kalpavriksha trees. But the Parijata tree is also found in the kingdom of Indra, that is, on Indra's heavenly planet. This Parijata tree was brought by Krishna to please Satyabhama, one of his queens, and this tree was implanted in the Dwarka mansions constructed for the queens. The lotus feet of the Lord are exactly like the Parijata trees or wish-fulfilling trees, and the devotees are like bumblebees. They are always attracted by the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Agyana Timanam Dasya Ginangana Silakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapanantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sakana Raghunatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Panant Sakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Svitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jigatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radha Vrinda Vanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Srivasari Ghora Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Parijatanya Shalabde Sharangonyanna Sevate Tvat Angri Mulam Asajya Sakshat Kim Kim Vrinimahi. So here the Prachetas are still praying to Lord Vishnu. Dear Lord, when the bee approaches the celestial tree called the Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree because there is no need for such action. Similarly, when we have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of them, what further benediction may we ask of you? So yesterday we had a very nice class of Gopinath Acharya, and he explained very nicely. I will try to get a little bit more into what happened before here, and then maybe we have time to get a little bit also into the purport. It's pretty straightforward, although maybe we can say a little bit about the Parijata tree. But before that, I would like to speak about the benediction actually that Prachetas received in the beginning. I think it was in the 24th chapter, or in the beginning of the chapter, I'm sorry. And maybe I also wanted to, if there's some time and if you like, I can maybe at least read a little bit of the prayers of Lord Shiva, which is how it all started. Actually, how it all started was that their father asked them to meditate and to prepare for marriage and to progenitate, to create progeny for the kingdom. So that was actually their instruction of their father, and that is how they ended up meditating in the ocean. And then they met Lord Shiva, and they recited that prayer. Let me just recap for you. We are here still in the discussion of Vidura and Maitreya. So Vidura is inquiring here to Maitreya. Let me just read a little bit for you. So Maitreya, Vidura is asking here, and he's asking, certainly they were transferred to the spiritual world, but apart from that, what did they obtain within this material world, either in this life or in other lives? So I'll read a little bit more. The sons of King Prachinabhari, known as the Prachetas, underwent severe austerities within the seawater to carry out the order of their father. By chanting and repeating the mantras given by Lord Shiva, they were able to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to reward austerities, Vidura Maitreya is saying here, Lord Vishnu appeared before them in his very pleasing form. And then this whole beautiful description is given, how beautiful Krishna looks. This is also an important point. We discussed it a few days ago. This is from verse 8. He says, all of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. This is Lord Vishnu speaking. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me. This was yesterday explained by Gopinath Acharya. Varam vrinitvam. This is the Sanskrit. Now you may ask a benediction. Varam means benediction. Vrinidvam means ask. And this is also, I just wanted to repeat this again because it's important. Those who remember you, this is the Prachaitas, in other words, if you remember the Prachaitas every evening of every day, will become friendly with their brothers and with all other living entities. So this is a very significant point. It's these 10 brothers, you know, meditating in the sea. And yeah, we can only imagine what they were doing, you know. But it seems that here, he says, I'm very pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in your occupation, devotional service. So, I mean, 10,000 years is a long time. So, you know, some cooperation must have been there, obviously. Anyway, what I wanted to read, I'm trying to find it. So Krishna is also saying, because you have with pleasure accepted within your hearts the order of your father and have executed this order very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. That I just explained, their father instructed them to meditate and to prepare for marriage. Now Krishna is, now Vishnu is saying, you will have a nice son who will be in no way inferior to Lord Brahma. Consequently, will be very famous all over the universe. And then he's speaking about their wife, the heavenly society girl named Pramlocha, that we'll discuss later in the end of the chapter. This will be described. And I want to say one also point about that is that when they come out of the ocean, they actually become a little bit angry because the whole earth is covered with trees, and then they start burning the trees, and this is when Lord Brahma comes down and tells the deity of the trees to bring this girl to them, to pacify them. But what I found interesting is that they're so pure, obviously they were very, very pure, but still they got angry, you know. So it's not so easy to control that anger. And Lord Brahma, he had to come down and take care of it. You know, it was a very serious situation. Generally, I mean, so many wars here, but this is insignificant for Lord Brahma, obviously, otherwise he would have come down. But this was very serious. He had to come down in person and ask the deity of these trees to pacify them. And then, you know, this daughter who was raised by the moon planet, she, because it was mentioned that, you know, this lady was marrying these 10 sons, but obviously this was not an ordinary person. This was, you know, some kind of demigod, actually, demigoddess. Okay. Yeah, because Here Lord Vishnu says, the Lord then blessed all the Prachaitas. Because tomorrow we'll discuss the blessing that Lord Vishnu, or that the Prachaitas are asking Lord Vishnu. But here is the blessing that already was given by Lord Vishnu. He says, my dear princes, by my mercy you can enjoy all the facilities of this world as well as the heavenly world. Indeed, you can enjoy all of them without hindrance, and with full strength for 1,000,000 celestial years. So this was their benediction already given to them before they started asking. You know? Huh? Yeah, yeah. Thank you. So Lord Vishnu, after they were meditating, and then, you know, they were singing this song of Lord Shiva. Probably don't have enough time to read that. But then this was the benediction. By my mercy, you can all enjoy the facilities of this world as well as the heavenly world. Indeed, you can enjoy all of them without hindrances and with full strength for 1,000,000 celestial years. So in other words, obviously they were not ordinary persons. I'm not even sure where they were meditating. I didn't have so much time to prepare. But I don't think it was actually in the ocean. I vaguely remember it was somewhere on the heavenly planets in some lake, actually. So obviously these Prachaitas were not ordinary persons. I mean, already they were meditating for 10,000 years, which is like a kind of on a, another time scale that we live. But their benediction was that they could enjoy here on earth, and they were also able to travel to the heavenly planets and enjoy there if they so desired. This was the benediction given by Lord Vishnu. And of course, as you can see from the prayers, because that's what we're basically now reading, is all these prayers from the Prachaitas, we can understand that they're, well, basically pure devotees, at least very, very pure. But like I said, still they became angry, so we should be very, very careful. Prabhupada always stresses these points then, that if these very advanced devotees, sort of make a mistake or whatever you want to call it, then we shouldn't think, oh, I can also make mistakes. We should think, oh, how careful I have to be. Even they, fell into anger. So how careful I have to be not to fall into anger. Because, you know, we learn from Bhagavad Gita what happens if we become angry. Then all intelligence is lost, and we'll just get lost, ultimately. And everybody knows that. You say things in anger that later you're sorry. But it's very powerful, this anger. I myself have kind of a temper, and it just shoots up the spine, and it's very quickly. And before you know it, you're already talking something that you shouldn't say. So this anger is very powerful. Lord Shiva gets angry. He's the most exalted Vaishnava. So we have to be very careful. And anger usually comes out of, if we're very humble, and we generally don't get angry because we're very, very humble. So as soon as because they came out, and then, you know, the trees were all there, and they felt, well, why are these trees here? You know, we're supposed to rule the kingdom, and this is a disturbance. So like that, they became angry. But if we're very, very humble, then, you know, we see everything as Krishna's mercy, and then, you know, we don't become angry. But as Guru Padma was explaining yesterday, sometimes for Krishna's service, then we can become a little bit angry. For Krishna, we can become angry. Like Arjuna, he was also, actually he was told, you should become angry. don't become peaceful. You should become angry now. This is not the time to become peaceful. But that was directly ordered by Krishna. So that is different. That, you know, generally we become angry out of sense gratification. At least if I speak for myself. So that we should make the distinction why we get angry. Is it for ourselves? Because we don't get enough sleep, not enough prasadam, not enough honor, not enough facilities? Or is it because we are disturbed because something is, you know, disturbing Krishna? Anyway, so this was the benediction that was given to Lord Vishnu. And here also, because that is another thing that I came up when I studied, that after they went through this whole marriage, then again they started praying and they got the darshan of Lord Shiva, of Narada Muni. And they were lamenting that now, you know, we are, you know, Grihasthas and we're trying to get out. Please help us. Please tell us what we should be doing. And then another side point, just to give you an idea of how profound this Bhagavatam is. Their son, because they had a son, was actually Daksha. I think most of you know Daksha. But Daksha was like the son of Lord Brahma. And he became angry of Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva's wife, which was Daksha's daughter, burned herself to death. And then Shiva became so angry that he... I'm not sure, did he kill Daksha or did he... Huh? He cut off his head and then he put a goat's head. Anyway, for disturbing Lord Shiva, he ended up as one of the sons of the Prachaitas. So this is another kind of insight, you know, information of how, you know, reincarnation works. It's not very much highlighted. But I still thought it was very significant. It was very profound, you know. You can just see how you know how philosophical and how you know scientific this Bhagavatam is, that they you know these things, that you know this was Lord Brahma's son, and now he's getting reincarnated as the Prachaitas. So like that you can very clearly see you know the laws of karma. Because here Lord Vishnu is saying, he says, those who are engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service certainly understand that the ultimate enjoyer or beneficiary of all activities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, when one acts, he offers the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and passes life always engaged in the topics of the Lord. Even though such a person may be participating in family life, he's not affected by the results of his actions. So with the Prachetas, when they came out of the Grihastha Ashram, they felt very much affected. This is, of course, the humility of a devotee. And again, it just shows us how careful we should be. That we should never think of ourselves that, you know, I'm a devotee. Like Prabhupada says, another sign of humility, that we always think, oh, I should have done better. This is another sign of humility. And this, the Prabhupada says, in this way, you will always improve. As soon as you think, wow, I did a really good job, then that is basically the beginning of the end, because then the progress basically stops. And there's, you know, since everything is ultimately unlimited, there's no end to what we can learn. And since we are limited, we can never really reach perfection. So we can always learn more and become more humble and become more expert and like that. And it's an ongoing, like sometimes the impersonalists, they say you become enlightened and then that's it. Now then you've reached perfection. But we know from Bhagavatam that it's not the case, that we go to the spiritual world and that there's an ongoing rasa, there's so many relationships, and all the time we have to be careful not to make offenses, that we have to have the proper etiquette in dealing with Krishna and his devotees. So all the time, like Ramakrishna was saying, we need to have this balance. Like he was giving the example of throwing up balls in the air. This is a continuous process, and all the time we have to be very conscious of what we're doing, that this will not end. I'm sorry. But it's ecstatic. Ultimately it will become ecstatic. Although Mahendra was explaining that Krishna has two sides that he gives to the devotee. One is like horror and other one is ecstasy. Like when Krishna left the gopis, they were in horror. They were horrified. So, but it's also ecstasy. In the material world, these things get a little bit distorted. So it's a little bit difficult to understand, at least for me. But that is how it works. And in this way, it continues. Then you have, you know, spiritual ecstasy, and then you have spiritual, you know, distress. Okay. So that is kind of my intro. I can speak a little bit about this Parijata tree. This Parijata tree, it is a tree that Prabhupada says here it can fulfill all the desires, but what I understand is basically a fruit tree. And it can give any fruit. Maybe also any food. But I'm not sure. As far as I understand, it's just fruits. But it's all the fruits in the world that you can imagine. And this tree will produce it unlimitedly. And that tree was grown in Indra Loka. And I think Krishna gave a flower to Rukmini. No, but first he gave a flower to Rukmini, no? And she desired to also have that flower. I think that's how it started. Satyabhama. And then Krishna is so expert that he didn't really say that, oh, you also want the flower. But he took her on a tour to the heavenly planets. And there she saw the Parijata tree. And then she expressed her desire. And then Krishna said, oh, you want that tree? Sure, I'll get it for you. Like Prabhupada explains, he plays the role of a husband. You know, so like that he was very expertly you know, he knew her desire, and then he took her to this tour, and then this whole pastime ensued that Krishna took the tree, and then Lord Indra, he became, you know, disturbed. His wife said, you know, why he's taking the tree, you know, you're going to let this guy just take our tree, and then, you know, Indra was chasing Krishna, and they were fighting, and then ultimately, of course, Krishna won, and he put the tree in the palace. And yeah, one interesting point I was also reading, that she also met Draupadi, and she was asking Draupadi about marriage, because she was very expert, because she had five husbands. So that is just a sort of a side point, how all these things sort of relate, because here we have this other lady, and she also has 10 husbands. So this was all... This knowledge is like eternal knowledge, you know, and throughout the universe these things are known. So it's interesting that that Satyabhama was, you know, talking to Draupadi like that, and these histories are all written down, and like that, this knowledge is, it's all over the universe, it's available for people who want to access it. So it's basically time. If you want, I can read a little bit these verses of the songs of Lord Shiva, or we can just stop and see if there's any question. Right. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what happened there, to tell the truth, because I just skimmed over it. But we will read it soon. So, but what I understood was that, you know, they were there for a long time, in the ocean or in the water, and the trees were, what I remember, they were blocking the sight to heaven. So that was one thing that was given. Maybe, you know, maybe because of Vishnu's benediction they were thinking, hey, now we can't go to heaven anymore. What's going on? And they also had populated the whole of the planet. Well, I'm not even sure if it was Earth. Probably was Earth. So they've also felt that it was just a disturbance. If there's too many trees, it's not so nice, you know. But then they got angry and they started burning the whole forest. And then things got a little bit out of hand. Because obviously they were so powerful. Well, to be honest, I experienced this many times, that devotees are actually desire trees who can fulfill all your desires. You know, now I'm sitting on a Vyasasana and I'm a little nervous, so I forgot. But, you know, I'm sure some of you might remember that you wanted something and then the devotee gave it to you. Right, I mean, like today, they're giving yoga class. So some devotees, they might thinking, oh, I wanted to do some yoga. So some devotee, he decided, I'm going to give a yoga class, and it's free of charge. I don't know. Anybody has another example? Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, if you bring somebody to Krishna, then all desires are fulfilled. But I experienced it directly. I desired something, and then the devotee would give it to me. And it happened many times. I just can't remember it now, but it happened many times. And all the time I was thinking, wow, the devotees there are really like wish fulfilling trees, can fulfill all your desires. We should really try to realize this, you know, that. But you know, we need a little bit of humility to access that, because you know the false ego, it's very, very big, and nobody likes being insulted. Of course, Lord Vishnu, he got kicked on his chest, and he said, "Oh, did you hope you didn't hurt your foot?" You know, but you know, his wife didn't really appreciate that. That's why all brahmanas are very poor. That's the story. It was a brahmana who kicked him. He was sent out to see who was most advanced, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Lord Vishnu. But you know. So we have to be careful. Even his wife became a little bit disturbed. She's a pure devotee. Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, my understanding is that generally Krishna only gives it to you when you can handle it. If he likes you. Like, you know, demons, he just, like, you have a saying in America, you just give a man a rope so he can hang himself. You ever heard of that saying? So you just give him the freedom so he can just make a fool out of himself. That's maybe why they put me here on the Vyasa Sangha, I don't know. So then, you know, demons, they end up in a really bad place. But with devotees, you know, Krishna doesn't do that. And that's also what you see, because I was reading that and I was thinking the same as you. I was thinking like, wow, it's really good. Maybe you should also meditate in the ocean. And it's even said that they could also, you know, go to the hellish planets, because there's also unlimited enjoyment, pure enjoyment. But what I understood is that they were just, they just became quite nice grihasthas. And they just ruled the kingdom. Kind of boring in one sense. It's not described because it's just like they lived happily ever after. You know, it's never described in the fairy tale because that's basically what happened. They married the girl and they lived happily ever after. They didn't go to the heavens and enjoy and have a part. As far as I know, maybe they did, but it was at least within boundaries. So they didn't abuse that benediction. Well, that's what I was thinking. Probably they didn't just sit there, you know. I mean, maybe they did, I don't know. Huh? No, because 10,000 years is a long time. So who knows what they were doing? You know, maybe they made a break for Prashadam, I don't know. Maybe so many fish came, maybe one of them had to chase them away. I don't know. Or maybe they were just peacefully sitting. I mean, have you ever meditated? Like, you know, you ever did that? Yeah, that exactly. Because if you sit in a room with people meditating, and if there's one person who is like, he's got stiff knees and he's moving all the time, it's totally disturbing. Yes. I hope if I can find it. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Right. Yes, Prabhu? The Son of Shiva? Oh, the Song of Shiva. Yes, just hold on. I mean, you know, as you know, I work for Vanipedia, so I read basically every single quote, at least in the books, about the Parijata tree. And that's basically what it says. I mean, I can't give you a specific reference now. It's also said here in the purport. It's very clearly said. It says, one can get anything he desires from such a tree. In the material world, one can get oranges from an orange tree or mangoes from a mango tree. But there is possibility... but there is no possibility of getting oranges from a mango tree or vice versa. However, one can get whatever he wants from the Parijata tree. Oranges, mangoes, bananas, and so on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't think you can... Right, I don't think a Parijata tree can give jewels. But that is just my understanding. I think it's just any fruit, and it's unlimited fruits. So you can you know, as soon as you ask bananas, immediately new bananas appear. So it's like a Surabi cow, you know, he can give unlimited milk. It's not that he can give chocolate milk, you know, or, you know. He just gives unlimited milk. You know, so similar with this Parijata tree, it gives, you know, every fruit you can imagine. Here we have our Veda-based scholar. No, it's the same. Parijata and Kalpa Vriksha is the same tree. Well, like I said, it's the same tree, and this tree, it grows in the heavenly planets. So it is not unlimited, and it's very clearly explained here that this tree can give oranges, mangoes, bananas, and so on. But anyway, I guess we just have to go to the heavenly planets to find out, or to the spiritual world.
I was wondering,
yeah, I don't think so. I think it is the same. Yeah, that was my understanding, that it is exactly the same tree. Yeah, that was my understanding. And, you know, I was also thinking that, you know, that it is different. But what I understood, it's not different. It's exactly the same. Now that's what Prabhu was also saying, but it's my experience that the devotees are actually wish-fulfilling trees, and they do give you what you want. That is my personal experience. So I was also thinking that, but then, and that was what we were discussing, I think also, was it yesterday, that you need experience. You know, this will really solidify your faith. So I have some experience that I can tell you honestly that devotees are actually wish fulfilling trees. This is my experience. Yes, bro. Well, that's what it said here. It's the Parijata tree is growing there and it's giving these fruits. Well, that is what you're saying, that it's an example. That is what you're saying, it's an example. I don't read this as an example. He says one can get whatever he wants from the Parijata tree. Oranges, mangoes, bananas, and so on. He doesn't say, for example. He says that this is what you can get. Everything is there. Everything is there. How you can enjoy without fruits? How you can enjoy without fruits? Why doesn't it make any sense? You can eat anything. You can eat anything you like. Like for instance, they drink soma juice. This is also very, very exalted food. And so they have fruits. Everything is there. I don't see the. I never saw the confusion there. Jesus, go ahead, please. Yeah, but then he explains about these fruits. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's up for discussion. You know, sometimes things are said in the scripture like you should only marry one wife. This is very clear. But then there's the Pandavas and they marry, you know. I mean, the wife should only marry one husband. So sometimes things are said, but then, you know, there is also a reality. Reality is sometimes a little different than what is actually written down. Sometimes, you know, things are a little bit more intricate. Like, for instance, we have a description of the universe, and it's very clear in the Bhagavad Gita, but if you look in the stars, it looks very chaotic and very so many stars there and there. So the reality is usually a little bit different than what you actually read. No, it's not that you don't believe it, it's just that If you hear somebody say something, like you say, they talk about Hawaii, and they say Hawaii is great. It's different than if you go there. You get a different experience. It's not that the description of Hawaii is wrong. It's just if you actually go there, it's just different. Yes. Okay. Well, maybe I misunderstood it then. Maybe they, you know, maybe they do fulfill every wish. Okay, well then I misread that. My apologies for that. It wasn't really clear for me. But it seems a little bit strange that, you know, anything... Anyway, I can accept it. Yes, please. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm reading here Krishna book. Here Prabhupada says that Akrura thought that Krishna was like the desire tree in the heavenly planets, which gives fruit according to the desire of the worshipper. Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I'm just trying to explain to you why I misunderstood it. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up for me. This is good why to give class, you know. This is how you learn things. Yeah. Okay. Now I just completely misunderstood it because I'm reading now different quotes and it's clear that it can fulfill any desire. But at least I got the Siddhanta right because I do understand that all the Vaishnavas can fulfill any desire. I just thought it was an example given anyway. I would like to see the tree. Yes, please. Yes, Guru. Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. 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 Well, no, I mean, it's as far as I understand, it's within reason, you know. Yes, Guru.
In a sense that it's going to have 65 because when you say that body can feel all the desire, that's true, but if he chooses to feel all the desire, you have to be in the same body in the family as well as Krishna. You can feel what you want. So in this sense, but in the other sense, I don't agree with you.
Yeah, but sometimes devotees might also give you something that might not be so good for you. They're very expert in fulfilling desires. Like we discussed that yesterday also, that I forgot exactly what it was, but this was also mentioned, that sometimes Krishna does give scope to fulfill the desire of the devotee. You know, even though it might not be so good. We were just discussing it just now. He's saying you can go to the heavenly planets and to... So, you know, like Krishna, the devotees also, they can actually really fulfill any desire. But that is my personal understanding. But, you know, a kilo of heroin, you know. It's true. Yeah, but sometimes the devotee, you think, oh, I want to have this sweet, and then the devotee, he brings you the sweet. You know, and it might not be so good for you or whatever, but that is what you desired, and the devotee brings it. Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, I buy some CD for my brother when it's his birthday. Maybe it's not the best, but, you know, I'm trying to be nice. I mean, that's maybe not a good example, but, you know, like I said, I had many incidences that devotees, they did, you know.